A multi-millionaire tech entrepreneur walks away from everything to meditate in the Himalayas. Years later, he returns, not with formulas for success, but with something far more valuable: clarity about life's most confounding mysteries. This isn't another self-help manual promising transformation in 10 easy steps. Instead, it's an invitation to confront the uncomfortable truths we spend our lives avoiding, that suffering is inevitable, that everything we love will eventually leave us, and that the answers we seek can only be found by looking inward. What makes this wisdom particularly potent is its refusal to sugarcoat reality. Life is hard, impermanent, and often unfair. Yet within these harsh truths lies an unexpected freedom. Once we stop fighting against life's fundamental nature, we can finally start living. The question isn't whether we'll face hardship, but how we'll choose to meet it when it arrives at our doorstep. Buddha ended a sermon with, "Wake up, time is running out." Three listeners heard entirely different messages. A dancer remembered her performance commitment. A thief saw his cue to rob a wealthy home. An elderly man decided to abandon material pursuits for spiritual seeking. This reveals something profound. We don't experience reality itself, only our interpretation of it. Conflicts emerge when perspectives collide. Two witnesses describe the same accident, yet tell contradictory stories. We all carry unique filters shaped by past experiences, cultural conditioning, and emotional states that transform neutral events into personal narratives. What Buddha called right view isn't about seeing things positively. It's recognizing that our reactions, not external events, create our suffering. A Zen monk demonstrated this when a geisha tossed him a burning coal. Instead of burning himself, he simply used it to light his pipe. Same coal, different response, entirely different outcome. When we understand that perspective shapes experience, we gain tremendous power. The question isn't what happens to us, but how we interpret what happens. Thousands of emails arrive monthly, beginning with, "Life's been too hard on me." But whose life is actually easy? Those without money envy the wealthy, while the wealthy envy those with simple jobs. Many with everything battle depression behind closed doors. The difference between challenges and struggles is perspective. Remember the butterfly emerging from its cocoon? That struggle strengthens its wings for flight. Without resistance, wings never develop, and the butterfly dies unable to fly. Bodybuilders undergo resistance training. They can view this as painful struggle or rewarding work. The physical reality remains identical, but the mental experience differs dramatically. Pachakara's story illustrates life's brutal impermanence. Born into wealth, she lost her entire family in one day. Husband to snakebite, newborn to a hawk, older son to drowning, parents and brother to a house collapse. Mad with grief, she wandered naked until encountering Buddha, who spoke with devastating compassion. "For countless lives, you've wept for loved ones. Your tears could fill four oceans." No wealth or status shields us from life's uncertainties. Everything is transient. Success, failure, joy, pain all come in cycles. When you feel down, remember this phase will pass. When elated, remember this too shall fade. This awareness centers you in peace, the only real treasure amid life's temporary acquisitions. Pingala, a beautiful courtesan, rejected all patrons to wait for a prince who promised to visit. She adorned herself magnificently and waited through the night, but he never came. At dawn, clarity struck. She recognized her foolishness in seeking fulfillment from others rather than the divine within. This is everyone's story who seeks completion through another person. The most common cause of grief isn't failed expectations, it's the relationship itself. If you can't keep yourself happy, no one else can do it for you. Whatever you seek from others, give it to yourself first. Want affection? Practice self-compassion. Crave validation? Acknowledge your own accomplishments. You draw energy from whoever occupies your center. In love, you become the one you love. If they're materialistic, you'll become materialistic. If spiritual, you'll grow calmer. Choose carefully what you place at your center because you'll inevitably embody it. We respond to sadness with stories about what others did, what they said, how difficult our circumstances are. Yet these subjective narratives shape our reality more than the events themselves. When bandits searching for a woman approached Mahavira, he responded, "A man sees what he wants to see. We see only what we choose to see, so why not tell ourselves uplifting stories? The only true eternal relationship is with yourself. Live it, love it, value it." A 6-year-old broke a milk jug after ignoring his mother's warning. She gently taught him, "Everyone makes mistakes. We are free to make mistakes, but we are also responsible for owning up to our actions." This simple lesson reveals freedom's hidden cost, responsibility. The degree of freedom you enjoy directly correlates with your sense of responsibility. As Nelson Mandela observed, "To be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others." Viktor Frankl suggested America's Statue of Liberty should be complemented by a statue of responsibility on the West Coast. Freedom without responsibility degenerates into mere arbitrariness, doing whatever we want without considering consequences. In Empress Wu's court, the monk Fazong demonstrated cosmic interdependence through a hall of mirrors and a single candle. When lit, the flame appeared in every mirror, each reflecting not only the source flame, but also reflections from all other mirrors, infinite flames contained within each other. This illustrates our karmic interdependence. Our actions, words, and thoughts impact others in an ever-changing world. Our suffering stems from clinging to beliefs rooted in ignorance, seeking permanence in what is inherently impermanent. Loneliness illustrates this. From a yogic perspective, it offers an opportunity for self-exploration, a calling of the soul. The cure isn't finding someone to keep you engaged, but turning inward to embrace solitude. When a radio caller named Tom asked whether his job or family should be his priority, an older listener shared the theory of 1,000 marbles. He explained that the average person lives about 75 years, approximately 3,900 Saturdays. At 55, he'd already used over 2,800. To visualize his remaining time, he bought 1,000 marbles in a clear container, removing one each Saturday. "By watching the marbles diminish, I focused more on the really important things in life," he explained. The story so moved the listener that he took his family to breakfast instead of going to work. Terminal patients' greatest regret is not spending more time with family, never wishing they'd worked more. Rabbi Zusia, despite living an exemplary life, wept on his deathbed. When students compared him to Moses and Abraham, he replied, "When I go to heaven, they won't ask why I wasn't like Moses or Abraham. They'll ask why I wasn't like Zusia. Why didn't I fully live up to my own potential?" Discovering and fulfilling our unique truth requires self-belief and conviction, which only come when we're at peace with ourselves. Many spiritual seekers approach enlightenment as consumers, shopping for transformative experiences. However, true enlightenment requires lifelong practice and commitment. As the Zen saying goes, "Before enlightenment, chop wood, fetch water. After enlightenment, chop wood, fetch water." Liberation isn't about planting a flag on Mount Everest. It's about the mindful journey itself. True positivity comes from being centered and at peace within. Our suffering arises not from divine intervention, but from our inability to handle emotions and circumstances. To find happiness, we must begin with the premise that no one else can give it to us. Grace comes to those who are patient, truthful, and faithful. A family facing severe financial hardship found a bundle of money that had fallen from a passing scooter. After their father received his back pay, he returned the exact amount to a temple donation box, saying, "God helped us when we needed his help. Now we must return it." Those who lead honest lives remain within the orbit of grace. Things may not always fall perfectly in place, but they won't fall apart either. Grief runs its own course, like a river creating its passage. Unlike most emotions, grief arises from the deepest point of love and can only be absorbed by gratitude or merge into the ocean of love. Life is not something we make, but something we flow with. Whether we flow, float, swim, or sink in the river of life remains our choice, but the river itself will continue flowing regardless.